Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 63, Why Do We Teach Faith, Part 3. Pastor Harley Kolderman delivered this message on February 24th, 2019.
There's a scripture. Let me see if I can find it very quickly before she shares. It says in, this is in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26, it says, "Well, my brothers and sisters, let's summarize. When you meet together, one will sing." Are you going to sing?
Maybe.
Okay. "One will sing, another will teach, another will tell some special revelation God has given. One will speak in tongues, another will interpret what is said. But everything that is done must be done to strengthen all of you." And then he gives some guidelines for doing that. So a little while ago, Sarah was sharing that she was getting some revelation. So I said, "Well, do you want to preach today instead of me?" And she said, "No, not really." She said, "Not really, because I don't have my notes." And I said, "Well, I can send Santos back to get your notes if you really need them." And then we kind of left it there. So now I'm putting her on the spot.
Praise the Lord.
It's here. The notes are in here.
To give some part of the revelation that God has given her, because it actually relates to faith. So,
amen.
Here it is.
Yeah.
Hot from the oven.
Hot from the oven.
Okay. So we read, we're reading the Andrew Womack book in the cell groups, and this week our group read the chapter "Already Blessed." And it just stirred me up. And so I went home, and Friday I was like thinking about things. And then yesterday I was trying to do reports for work, and I had to just keep stopping. And I'm like, where's my notebook? Because I just had to write things down and let it flow out. It just kept coming and coming. And so now anytime I think of a scripture or anytime I hear anything, I'm putting it through the lens of this new, deeper revelation that we're already blessed. Like, we have everything provided for us by what Jesus did on the cross. Like, it's all there. Like, nothing is off limits to me through Jesus. So he says, boldly come to the throne of grace. And we're not really asking him to do it because we're not asking him to do it because he already did it. He already sent Jesus. We're just asking, we're asking more, like Mew was talking about fasting. We're not getting God to move. We're just asking, like, help me receive what's already been made accessible to me. So, like, there's this whole banquet table, and I'm sitting back here going, well, I'm really hungry. And God's like, well, I already, like, the table's set. Come on up. Like, come on up and eat. Like, have at it, like Enoch says. Like, we have so much that is available to us by what Jesus did on the cross. All his promises are yes and amen. Like, nothing is a no. Well, maybe. It's like today. It's for today. The promises of, you know, receiving his financial blessing, receiving the promise of healing. Anything that God says in his word, he will do. I don't have to, like, twist his arm to do it, because through Jesus, I have it. And so I can just learn how to receive it. And that receiving is faith. That's just me believing that what he says in his word, it's for me. And it's for me today to receive it. Because, like Pastor Harley says, that faith is the hand that reaches out to take that promise and makes it mine. You know, because it's like if somebody gives you a check, I have that check, I carry that check written out for me in my purse, but I never take it to the bank and I cash it. Well, it's not really good for me. It's not, that money's not in my account until I say, yes, I am Sarah Velasquez and I'm cashing this. Like Jesus, you know, like I go up to, you know, I say to Jesus, okay, you say in your word that you promised healing for me. I am cashing that in and I receive that no matter what the circumstances or my symptoms may say. This is your word and it's yes and amen. And it's just by our faith. And so, you know, this isn't like a totally new thought for me. I've heard this, But something new is about it. Like this weekend, it's just like going deeper, like it's all up to me, you know, and it's not a striving. It's not me working to get it. Jesus did the hard part. I just have to open my heart and I just have to believe. And my faith is that assurance, knowing that he did it and I can just receive it. It's that assurance of things hoped for. And so, woo.
Praise the Lord.
So I got it all. So like whatever that thing is that you're, you know, don't feel like you're receiving, it's just like, we just need to relax into Jesus with it and say, yeah, it's mine. Like I receive it. Like last week I lived some things that were a little bit difficult and unknown and I had this big question mark and, I felt like I was really out of control and I realized I didn't like that. And in the middle of it, Jesus whispered to me, just take my hand, you know? And it's like, for somebody like me who sometimes, well, I used to fall into striving and like, I gotta do it. It's just like, Jesus says, I'm here. Just take my hand. Like, I'll lead you through it. Like, you have it. You have my peace. You have all of it. He's given us everything for life and godliness. To live in his life and live in his godliness. It's on the inside of us because we have Jesus in us. Is that enough preaching? That's the freshness out of the oven.
All right. Well, thank you.
Praise God. Praise the Lord. He's so good. Just receive it.
Yeah, what she's talking about is actually revelation coming on the inside of you, because that really is what faith takes a hold of. That's when faith becomes real, is when it's real to you, when it becomes revelation to you. It's not what you knew or what you thought you knew or what you wished you knew. It's it getting down on the inside of you, and then God, with his Holy Spirit, activating what's on the inside of you so that you don't have to leave anything on the table. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. If the table is spread for you in front of your enemies, then you should be taking things off the table. That's why it's spread for you, so that you can partake. Praise the Lord. Now, it's not all about you, and it's not all about selfishness and all of those kind of things. I mean, you can have the wrong attitude and the wrong motives and all of those kind of things, but you don't have to. Amen. You can live with right motives. Amen.
Amen.
You can live with motives to be blessed so that you can be a blessing. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. It's a great way to live. So, we've been talking about why do we teach on faith, and this is really, it kind of is an illustration, what Sarah experienced is an illustration of that. We teach on faith because we all could have a greater and a bigger revelation of everything in the Bible.
Amen.
Everything that God promises, we could have a greater revelation of it. We can have a greater relationship with Jesus. You know, relationships are built. They're built over a period of time, aren't they? Like when those of you who are married, when you're first married, your relationship, you know, it starts at some place. Maybe it started even before you were married. Hopefully it started before you were married. Hopefully it started a ways before you were married so that you could, you know, come into marriage with, you know, some better equipped to do it. But relationships are built, and they're built over time based on spending time together, talking to each other, communicating, and a lot of other things. And out of that time and out of that experience, then we build a greater relationship. But it's the same way with God. He wants us to have a growing relationship with him. I mean, it shouldn't be what it was 10 years ago or 5 years ago or 3 years ago or whenever you got born again. You should have a greater relationship today with him than you ever have had. And sometimes, you know, we just in the busyness of life, we let those kind of things slip. Just like in a marriage, you can let things slip and you don't have to, you know, you don't do the things that you used to do, or you don't communicate the way you used to communicate, or you don't practice the things that you know that build. But you should, but maybe you're not. So God is saying, come back to that place and keep working and keep building and keep growing. And we should do that with him just as well. Amen. So we're teaching on these the subject of why do we teach faith. Basically, we're incorporating in these messages some elements that will help your faith to increase and to grow, because we're using God's Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes from the Word of God. And when that becomes revelation on the inside of you, then things happen. Awesome things happen. Wonderful things happen. Because God is a faith God. He operates in a faith realm. And when you join Him in that operation, in that venture, then both of you are blessed. You know, David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will be continually in my mouth. Another place he says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. In other words, let's make him big. He says, magnify means to make big, right? Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt him together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me from all of my fears. Isn't that a good thing? Amen. So when you build that relationship with God, you get delivered from fear. When you get delivered from fear, you can walk in faith. When you're walking in faith, the blessing of God begins to come on you and overtake you, just like it's promised in Deuteronomy chapter 28. The first 14 verses all about how when you obey the voice of the Lord your God and you have a relationship with Him, that out of that relationship comes blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing, more than what you can ask or think or imagine. He's a good God. Amen? So He's a good, good God isn't just song or words on the screen. It's a reality for the person who has a growing and building a relationship with God. Praise the Lord. So today, I want to pick up a little bit where we left off last week, because I really didn't finish the message last week, and probably just looking at the clock, we're probably not going to finish it this time either, but it's okay. And after what Sarah shared, who needs to preach? So, amen. Praise the Lord. But I want to start in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. It says, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith towards God, and of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. So Hebrews 6, the first couple of verses there lay out the foundations for the Christian faith. These are foundation stones or foundation principles. The first one is, of course, repentance from dead works. But look at the second one. The second one is faith toward God. So why do we teach on faith? That could be a good reason, right? Because this is one of the foundations. It's probably, if you look at this ranking as being a ranking in the order of importance, repentance from dead works is number one, faith towards God is number two. So it's really essential that a person has a revelation of faith so that they can have a good foundation for their walk with God, for their Christian walk with God. Praise the Lord. So here it seems like the writer is ranking the elementary principles. He would advance, he says, basically. He would go to some other things, God permitting. But then he recognizes the need for reinforcing these basic principles. So that's what we're talking about in this series of messages, reinforcing those basic principles, particularly the principle of faith. So what is the writer here to the Hebrews looking for? He's looking for solid maturity to come into the life of a believer. You know, Jesus said that we should have childlike faith, but he didn't say our faith should stay at the level of a child. Amen? Amen. There is a difference, you know. You can have childlike faith. That means that you trust in God like a young child would trust their parents. And, you know, you can toss your kids around and they believe that you're going to catch them. You know, they just trust you because they haven't had so many experiences with you that they don't trust you anymore. Amen. But you can build that in your kids and make them not trust you. But it's in the heart of a child to trust a parent. If they're treated well and they're welcomed into the home, that trust will build and will grow. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, verse 9, just skipping down to verse 9, we're still in Hebrews chapter 6. He says, but beloved, we're confident of better things concerning you. In other words, he's saying, you know, you could walk away from this. You could not take heed to these principles. But he said in verse 9, but beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. For God is not unjust to forget your work and your labor of love, which you have shown in his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of the hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish. Everybody say sluggish. So he's saying that you should put these principles to work, and you should have the basic foundation stones in your life in a powerful way, operating beautifully, so that you don't become sluggish, but you should imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Inherit the promises. So Sarah was referring to some of the promises. You know, the table is spread. It's in front of you. It's in front of your enemies. God is expecting you to partake, but you have to use the hand of faith to reach onto that table and to begin to appropriate those blessings for yourself. And so we see that with faith and patience, we can inherit those promises. We can clean the table off, actually. I mean, there's always more because he's continually setting this table before us in the presence of our enemies. I mean, when the table gets empty, he refills it because he's got an endless supply. I mean, there's no shortfall in heaven. There's no shortfall with God. He has an endless supply to bless you with. Praise the Lord. So, you know, sometimes if you're struggling with something or you're going through some things, it just seems, you know, like God is distant and like he hasn't heard your prayers and so forth and so on. But the reality is that he's put a table in front of you, but you have to find the table. He's put a table in front of you. You have to appropriate the things by faith to take off the table the things that he's provided for you. So don't be disappointed about where you are. Just like Sarah said, Jesus said to her, just take my hand, I'll walk you through it. And when he's walking you through it, he's taking you to the table. He's bringing you to the table of provision for that thing that you're believing him for, that you're trusting him for. So he knows that you have the needs. So, I mean, it isn't like he's shocked or surprised, you know, that this is happening. But if you find yourself in that place of difficulty, of trial, of trouble, of situation, he's there for you. And he's taking your hand and he's helping you through. He's walking you through. I mean, you know, it's somebody said, just come to Jesus, everything will be fine. Well, sometimes when you come to Jesus, everything isn't fine. But the good news is he's there. And he's with you, and he'll help you, and he'll bless you, and he'll take you right through if you'll believe him and trust in him. So we see from this that following repentance from dead works, faith towards God is the next in line. And as we examined in some of our previous messages, the first thing we talked about is without faith, it's impossible to please him. So that's one of the reasons we teach on faith. The second one, last week, we talked about by faith we're made righteous. We have right standing for God, before God. We're accepted in the beloved. And so that's a good reason to teach on faith, because you can only have right standing with God through faith. So from verse 12, which we just quoted, we see that God expects us to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. So that's why following repentance, faith is the next most important principle, because he wants you to inherit the promise. He wants you to have faith. He wants you to have patience, and he wants you to inherit the promise. So that's one of the reasons why we keep teaching on faith. If you look in the Bible, you see also that Jesus commended great faith. He talked about it a lot. Sometimes he, as Mew was sharing before, that he criticized or he reproved or he corrected people for not having faith or for falling into unbelief, which kept them from doing what he wanted them to do. So last week, this is a scripture that we ended with, Romans chapter 4, and it was from verse 23. It says, when God counted him, this is speaking of Abraham, when God counted him as righteous, it wasn't just for Abraham's benefit. It was recorded for our benefit too, assuring us that God will also count us as righteous if we believe in him, the one who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. Verse 25, he was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised up to life to make us right with God. So that's kind of where we capped the message off last week. All of these things were not just for Abraham, but they were written for you as well. They're yours. This is your heritage. This is your inheritance as a believer in Jesus Christ. Because by faith in Jesus, you become a child of Abraham and you become a partaker even of the same promises that God made him, the covenant that God made with him. So from the beginning of the church in the book of Acts, we see that believers were known to be people of faith, and we're supposed to imitate them and follow their examples so that through faith and patience, we can inherit these promises. So when we come to a place in the Bible where we read a story about how did Peter and John do it, or how did Mary or Martha do it, or how did any of the characters in the Old Testament do it, whether it was Moses or whether it was Joshua or one of the other great people of faith, Gideon. If you want to read an exciting chapter, read Hebrews chapter 11, which gives you kind of a hallmark of people who walk by faith and all of the things that they accomplished and did by faith. So that is written for us so that we can be imitators of those people who through faith and patience inherited the promise. So in other words, if I'm wanting to learn about faith, I can look at the life of Joseph, or I can look at the life of Moses, or I can look at the life of Peter, or I can look at the stories of Jesus and the things that he did. And from that, I begin to have a growing faith, which begins to be productive and lively and powerful. So today I just picked a passage from Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, you remember Peter and John went to the temple at the 3 o'clock prayer service. At the beginning there, verse 1, it says, they approached the temple. A lame man came in from birth, was carried in. Each day he was put there, the Bible says. And when he saw Peter and John, he asked them for some money. And you know the story really well. Peter said to him, look on us. And then he said to him, I don't have silver or gold today, but what I have, I'm going to give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And the man got up and jumped and walked. The Bible said he went through the temple walking and leaping and praising God. Isn't that amazing? Verse 12 says that the crowd had gathered and that Peter saw an opportunity and addressed the crowd. People of Israel, he said, what is so surprising about this? And why do you stare at us as though we had made this man walk by our own power or godliness? For it is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our ancestors, who has brought glory to his servant Jesus by doing this. So Peter deflects the attention from himself and from John. He deflects it to God and says, this is, you know, why are you so amazed? This is just to bring glory to God. This is God manifesting himself or revealing himself in a special way in this crippled man so that he can, that God gets all the glory. This isn't us. This is not about us. And then he says, this same Jesus whom you handed over and rejected before Pilate, despite Pilate's decision to release him. You rejected this holy and righteous one and demanded that release of a murderer. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. And we are witnesses of this fact. Then verse 16 is a real key. He says, through faith in the name of Jesus, this man was healed. And you know how crippled he was before. Faith in Jesus' name has healed him before your very eyes. So when Rivka was sharing with us before about, you know, having a quest to be able to minister to people and see miracles happen, see the request happen, and not wanting Jesus to say, oh, you of little faith, why didn't you, you know, how long do I have to put up with you? It's the heart going out to God to say, look, when we're met with these great needs of humanity, Jesus, you have equipped us with what we need. So why shouldn't this work? Why shouldn't it work to heal a sick person? This week, as I was communicating with a team in Cuba, thankfully we can communicate a lot better now with some of the things that are happening. But they sent me a picture. Adonis sent me a picture of a little girl, 11-year-old girl, and she had severe scoliosis, or a curvature of the spine. And he was saying that the doctor said to the mother that this girl would have to have surgery, that they were actually going to remove part of the spine and then put in steel rods to pull the curvature into the way it should be, the spine into where it should be. So he was just asking us for prayer support, you know, because he's a little bit new at this in terms of praying for people to be healed, but he was there and he was willing. He just said, pray for us because we want to see God do this miracle. So I don't have the report on the little girl, but these are real situations. I mean, people have real problems, real circumstances, real sicknesses and diseases and bad diagnoses, evil stuff from the devil. And it's up to us to be the hands, the feet of Jesus, the eyes, the ears of Jesus. And the Bible says, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Amen. Praise the Lord. So these are all real things. And Peter says that the key to all of this that he learned from his experience with Jesus, this was the key. He said, through faith in the name of Jesus, this man was healed. Faith in Jesus' name has healed him before your eyes. So what Rebecca was sharing with us before is her heart is reaching out to take a hold of that same kind of faith, that to be able to walk in that kind of faith that Peter was, that was revelation to Peter. Amen. But here's the deal. You and I can't operate off of Peter's revelation. We have to have our own. We can't operate off of Sarah's revelation of this either. We have to have our own. Amen. So the good news is that faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes from the Word of God. And when you're encouraged to reach for it by faith and to get into the Word of God and to let that become revelation to you, then you can step up to the plate and be counted amongst those who have faith in Jesus and faith in His name that works. Amen. Amen. Everybody say, my faith is working. Yes, because it is.
Amen.
Because if it wasn't working, you wouldn't even be here, because you wouldn't be saved. You wouldn't even bother to come here. Amen. So your faith is working. There's some evidence of it just by the fact that you're here. But you don't want to just have your faith working to get you into the church building. You want to have your faith working on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Amen.
And the rest of the time that you walk on the earth. Amen. So what we should be doing is we should be looking for opportunities to use our faith in the ways that produce life and blessing for other people. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So this morning I want to just look at a couple of things. Wow, time has already escaped, but I'm going to touch at least on one thing. So why do we teach on faith? Well, the Bible, in four different passages, in four different places, it says the just, or the righteous person, shall live by faith. And the first one is in the book of Habakkuk. It's kind of an obscure minor prophet in the Old Testament. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. And this is what it says in Habakkuk. He says in verse 1, I will stand my watch and I will set myself on the rampart, and I will watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer him when I am corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. And then verse 4 says, behold, the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. The justified person shall live by his faith. So he's contrasting a proud person with a righteous person. A proud person with a person who is justified, who has right standing with God. He said a proud person, his soul isn't upright within him. It's, in other words, a proud person just depends on himself. A proud person doesn't look to God for help. A proud person doesn't rely on God or trust in God. He just trusts what he can taste, feel, see, hear, He trusts his five senses. He trusts his intellect. He trusts his experience. He trusts his intuition about things. But he doesn't trust in God because he's proud. It's all about me, myself, and I. I can do this. I will do this. I will get through this. I will get through it on my own. I don't need anybody else, and I don't need God, because God blesses those who bless. God looks out for those who look out for themselves. I mean, that's an attitude, and you can see that all around in the world that we live in. Amen. But the righteous person shall live by his faith. So a righteous person has a different kind of attitude about this. A righteous person gets vision from God. A righteous person is able to follow vision that God has placed in a church family, for instance, or in a ministry. A righteous person is able to follow vision because the justified person lives by faith. So in other words, the first instance of this scripture, the just shall live by faith, it's related to vision. It's related to your future. It's related to working together for the common good of the kingdom of God. It's related to having a plan and a purpose in life and running by that plan and purpose. So that just person will live by faith. And the way that you operate in vision is that you have to have faith. Amen. So for example, you know, you can look around and there's some empty chairs in here. But this morning we're declaring the empty chairs are full. Amen. Well, yeah, but you don't see the people, you just see the empty chairs. But yes, we see the people, because inside the people are there. They're not missing in action. In fact, some of you may notice that somebody that you know here this morning, that you know from your relationship here, somebody is missing. Somebody's missing in action. Well, why don't you call that person this week and go visit that person this week and make sure they're okay? Amen. So, I mean, if you see that somebody isn't here today, just take some responsibility. Why? Because that's vision. That's the vision. It's part of the vision of the church, is that we love each other. We care for each other. If somebody's missing, then there's something possibly wrong. Maybe nothing is wrong. Hopefully nothing is wrong. But we need to love each other enough to care for each other and reach out to the person that's missing, potentially needing our love, our care, our prayers, or whatever. Amen. So it's the same way with your cell group. In this church, we have a vision for getting together, not just in the church meeting, but also in cell meetings. Sometimes we don't talk about that enough, but that's part of our discipleship program, is our discipleship. I guess, I don't know if I call it a program, because it's what Jesus told us to do. He said, make disciples. He didn't say make a program. Amen. So part of our discipleship is to organize in smaller groups where we can have relationships with each other, where we can show our love for one another, where we can get to know one another besides just knowing the backside of somebody's head, you know, because you saw them in church and you sat behind them and you shook hands and you greeted and then you went home, but you don't really know that person. But every person should be connected somehow to a smaller group of people that have genuine care for one another, that can do body ministry together, and that can minister as an effective team to reach the lost people that are their friends, their relatives, the people that they work with, and so forth and so on. That's just part of the vision of this church. Cell group isn't discipleship, but it's part of the discipleship aspect. Discipleship, basically, Jesus said, make disciples, and he defined that as somebody that would deny himself, somebody that would take up their cross, in other words, die to themselves, somebody that would follow. That's how Jesus defined discipleship. We're supposed to make disciples. Disciples are not born, they're made. So he charged us with the responsibility of being the makers. Amen. Everybody say, I'm a maker. I'm a disciple maker. Because if we're not disciple makers, then we're missing God's calling on our life. He called every one of us to that. He didn't just say it was for preachers. He didn't say it was for just certain people who have certain leadership skills. He called everybody to do it. Everybody has a part in that. And when you're part of a one of the ways to manifest that, of course, is to be part of a cell group and to reach out and to do that together as a group, because we do things better together than we do separately. Amen? Jesus even sent his disciples out two by two to minister in the streets and so forth. That's why when we go out to the streets, we go out in teams, usually more than two, but could be at least two. At least two could be a team. Amen? And he sent them out with purpose because he knew that two were better than one. Amen? And a threefold cord, it can't be broken. Amen? He knew the scriptures. So he organized his disciples in that way. And so he had three main disciples that he ministered to, that he ministered into their lives. And then he had the 12. And then they had the 70. So all of those people had relationships together. We don't know exactly all the nuts and the bolts of how that worked. And the reason is because every generation has to reinvent itself. Amen? So if Jesus said it's only like this, and then you find yourself outside of this, then you're out, right? But Jesus didn't put those parameters on it and say you can only do it like this. He just said be creative and make disciples. And then he left it up to us to figure out what does that mean and how does that do. So how do we figure that out? Well, we talk to each other. We have a conversation. We communicate with one another and we ask God. We communicate with God. We ask him, you know, Lord, how can we do this better? How can we band together as a church family and make disciples better? And so we're having those conversations and we're continually maybe having to change things. Change aspects of it so that we can do it better. Amen? Because we're all growing and we're all learning and we're all getting better. Amen? Praise the Lord. So I want to just encourage that. But it relates back to this thing that the writer here is talking about, Habakkuk the prophet, as he said, I will stand my watch and I will set myself on the rampart. You have to take ownership of this. You have to take ownership of vision, and the way you take ownership of vision is by faith. Well, I don't like that part. I don't feel comfortable in small groups. Well, okay, I'm sorry about that. But it's part of discipleship, is relationship. Well, yeah, but I don't really trust people. Yeah, that's a problem. But Jesus can fix the problem. Amen?
Amen.
And he's building teams that can trust each other, because out of relationship you can build trust. Amen?
Amen?
Out of experience with one another you can build trust. Out of communication you can build trust. Out of faithfulness you can build trust. And those are all traits of a good disciple. Amen?
Amen.
So this is about vision. Vision says I can walk vision through by faith. It doesn't matter if I agree with it. You know, I've worked in big ministries, so I know that stuff goes on in ministries, and sometimes things happen that you don't like and so forth and so on. And sometimes ministers and ministries and leadership makes decisions that you don't particularly agree with or like, right? Everybody say, I like all of them. But I was grumbling and complaining about it one time when I was in my pastor's ministry, and God spoke to me, and this is what he said to me. He said, you know what? When you get yours, you don't have to do it that way. So quit complaining. And quit grumbling. Because grumbling and complaining doesn't build anything. Amen? And a lot of times we don't see the bigger picture. And when we don't see the bigger picture, you know, we have a different view of it than somebody who has the responsibility for leading. So praise the Lord. If there's something you don't like about the ministry, just pray for me. Pray for us. Pray for the leadership. Amen?
Amen.
And God will fix it.
Yes.
Because he's sometimes tough and stern with leaders. Amen? Praise the Lord. So anyway, we're going to take a break right here. For those of you who are listening on podcast, we in this room, we're going to take a break and we're going to break into small groups and we're going to discuss a particular scripture that's in the bulletin related to this subject about the just and the justified living by faith. And then we're going to come back and do the wrap up. So when we come back, we'll finish this message. God bless you as you go to your small group. In the wrap up. I just realized this week when I was re-listening to a message to see where I left off last week that sometimes the gap in there doesn't really make very much sense when you're listening to it on podcast because, you know, we're there and then we say we're going into small groups and then all of a sudden we're back again. So anyway, welcome back everybody on podcast. God bless you. Praise the Lord. And we've been talking about faith and why we teach on faith. I want to wrap up with this final scripture from Galatians chapter 3, verses 5 to 9. Galatians chapter 3, Paul says to the Galatian church, I ask you again, does God give you the Holy Spirit and work miracles among you because you obey the law? Of course not. It's because you believe the message you heard about Christ. In the same way, Abraham believed God and God counted him as righteous because of faith. The real children of Abraham, then, are those who put their faith in God. What's more, the scripture looked forward to this time when God would make the Gentiles right in his sight because of their faith. God proclaimed this good news to Abraham a long time ago when he said, "All nations will be blessed through you." So all who put their faith in Christ share the same blessing that Abraham received because of his faith. So the reality is that we're children of Abraham by faith in Christ Jesus, and we have access to covenant blessing and covenant promise because of what Jesus did at the cross of Calvary. By grace we're saved through faith, and what that means for you and me is that we can use faith in any area of our lives, wherever there's needs, wherever there's opportunities, wherever God has plan and purpose in our life, we can use our faith. But the most important place to use our faith would be, of course, to reach people for the kingdom of God, because so many people don't even know, don't have any idea of what you just heard this morning, that the justified, those who are right with God, can live by faith. I mean, they're just living the best they can live, and for the most part, it's not been very good. So you can help them. You can be a blessing to them. You can reach out to them with the gospel. The Bible says the gospel is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. So we have the good news. The gospel just means good news. I mean, sometimes we use religious terminology that nobody understands, even ourselves. And then we wonder why people don't just flock into the church and come and receive Jesus, because they don't get it, you know. But when you bring it down to their level where they have needs, where they have wants, where they have desires, where they have problems, troubles, and situations, you can reach them with the good news that Jesus is the answer. Amen? Amen. And that they can access that by having faith, putting their trust in Jesus. So let's keep it simple and let's do the things that make sense in terms of reaching people. And let's take this to our community and beyond in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. So let's pray. Father, thank you for this group. Thank you that they're diligent to seek after you. Thank you that your word is working mightily in them, and that the weapons of their warfare are not carnal, not of the flesh, but they're mighty through you, God, to demolish strongholds. So, Lord, this morning, we just come against every kind of stronghold, Father, against every kind of witchcraft, satanic, occult assignment, against this group of people, against this church family, against their friends, relatives, their loved ones, against those listening on podcast. We bind the devil. We cancel his power to kill, steal, and destroy, because Jesus, you came to give us life and to give it abundantly. So, Lord, we access that by faith this morning, faith in Jesus and faith in his name. And we thank you for the same good results that Peter and John saw when they spoke to that crippled man in front of the temple, Lord. He went walking and leaping and praising God. So, Father, let your blessing come into the lives of the hearer in such a way that they can walk and leap and praise you for the answers that you have given them today, Lord. We give you glory and honor and thanks for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.